From the Climate Despair and Empowerment Roadshow in August of 2007 in Vancouver, this is Washington State activist Pat Rasmussen.
I'm talking about forests and climate change just briefly before we get started. I was traveling last summer, just a year ago this time. I went to your inland temperate rainforest to a meeting, and I saw a lot of dead forest in British Columbia on the way. And then I came back, and I had to go to San Juan Island, so I drove over the North Cascades Pass, which just crosses the Cascades Mountains just a bit south of the border. And when I got to the top, the whole forest was red. You know, it looked dead and red. I said, wow, what is happening? It was very frightening to me because it was as far as I could see, and I took pictures of it. And I got home and I started researching. I said, what is this? What's happening? And what I discovered is that the forests up there, the higher altitude forests, are indeed defoliated by the spruce budworm. And I talked to scientists, and I found that it was widespread in Washington State, in the Cascades, all the way down. And that the spruce budworm is related to global warming because it's endemic in the forests, but as temperature rises, then they spread. And so gradually I got maps of where this defoliation was happening, and I found out that the trees, although they were defoliated in the fall and got buds in the spring, now they're defoliated again because every year it gets bigger. And I got a graph, and the graph of the last 10 years, it was just like this. And then in 2003, it went like that. And so the scientists said that the trees could come back. They might not all die unless they get to a point where they're too stressed, and then the spruce bark beetle would come in and kill them, and which is what happened in Alaska. And so I was terrified that much of our wilderness in Washington State was affected by this. And then I found that 20 million acres in central BC, the lodgepole pine, has been killed by the mountain pine beetle. And then I did more research. I found that the boreal, some scientists at Woods Hole Research Center in the East Coast had been making satellite studies of the boreal from 1983 to 2002, and that as the temperature was increasing and CO2 saturation was increasing, at first the boreal was turning green, then it started browning. So every year the boreal is browning, and as you probably know, that's a huge forest. Then I remembered a report that came out in 1994 from Greenpeace called The Carbon Bomb. And the carbon bomb is the forests around the planet hold three times as much carbon in them, in their vegetation, litter, and soils, as is in the atmosphere currently. So if we reach a point, and then I found that trees have an upper limit of temperature and CO2 that they can handle before they start to weaken and can die. So the essence of the carbon bomb is that as the temperature and CO2 increases, then we have forests that begin to die, and then we have fires, so we have more carbon going into the atmosphere, but at the same time, we have less forest, less trees to take carbon out of the air. And that at a certain point, if forest die-off spreads, and I saw in 2006 how quickly it could spread in 1 year. It was over the whole 10 western states of the U.S., and you know what happened here. And that's why they call it a carbon bomb, because if you have a massive die-off, lots of carbon goes into the atmosphere. The forests are holding more carbon than is in the atmosphere, and that could be a carbon bomb. And, yeah, that's very frightening. And so I decided that what I need to work on is global warming and climate change. And so I've been putting a lot of effort and work into it, and that's why I'm on this roadshow with Kelly. And the other thing to remember, though, about our forests is that temperate rainforests, you know, that are in this region from Alaska to Northern California, Chile, New Zealand, and Australia, hold the most carbon per hectare of any forest type, more than tropical, boreal, or temperate forests, because we have such big trees, and we have lots of litter on the ground, and the soil. The soils hold about half the carbon that's in the forest. So the forests that we have hold a lot of carbon, and Dr. Mark Harmon from Oregon State University says that if carbon is our goal, we should protect our old growth forests, and any other forests, we should let them return to old growth. Because when you cut down old growth, then for the next 10 to 30 years, that area is emitting carbon to the atmosphere. And it takes about 250 years before that area would hold as much carbon as it did before the forest was cut down. So the basic message, he says, is protect old growth forests for the carbon they hold and take out of the atmosphere. Let the forests return to old growth. And if there is management, change it to 100 to 150 year rotation cycle. So there are things that we can do, like protect our forests. And we can, I decided that the most important thing to avoid the carbon bomb is to reduce emissions. So I'm on a mission to help people reduce emissions, because if we reduce emissions, the natural system has a chance to recover.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.